Ephesians, the chapter 6. And we're looking at the verse 4. Ephesians chapter 6 and the verse 4. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. To remember that these instructions are being given to a people who have been urged to be filled with the Holy Ghost. People filled with the Holy Ghost will begin to live in every department of their life in submission to God and giving honor one to another. The Holy Spirit is the author of good order. Things are done right when they're done according to His teaching, His will. He it is who, through the Word of God, extends and establishes the kingdom of God in the hearts of God's people. That's what God wants to do. He wants to bring our hearts more and more under the rule of His Spirit and His Word. You can go to various parts of the United Kingdom today, and in various cities, there are communities made up of folk who have moved into that area from some other part of the world. And as often as not, they have brought with them their culture and their ways. And it is almost as if when you turn a corner in that particular city and walk down a road, you walk out of Europe and out of the United Kingdom into another country. For you hear the language of another country. You see the robes and the garments of another country. You see the people of another country. And the whole way of life within that community is different from that which one would normally associate with the United Kingdom. Well, I use that as an illustration of how the community of God's people should differ from the rest of society within which they reside. Because while society is under the rule of sin and lawlessness, the people of God should be under the rule of God, of His Word. And their hearts and their minds should day by day be brought more and more into submission to the mind and will of God. It is wrong if we can live amongst sinners and they don't notice that there's anything different about us. It's wrong. You are lacking in that visible evidence that ought to be there to support your profession of being a Christian. Well, God, the Holy Ghost, wants to bring us more and more into a conformity, into a likeness to our Savior, the Lord Jesus. Now, this ought to be very noticeable in a day such as this, for this is a day of disorder, a day in which mankind is going further and further and further away from God, and whatever conformity to God and to His ways was brought upon society in generations past by Christian witness. When even the ungodly, to some little degree at least, adopted the ways of a Christian, the outward ways of a Christian. Because such was the influence of the gospel in society at those times that that was the outcome. But as we are drifting into a time of great apostasy, that conformity, that outward conformity is rapidly disappearing from amongst society. Well, in such a time as that, God the Holy Ghost does move. And we're looking for such a move of the Spirit of God. Isaiah chapter 59, the verse 19, when the enemy shall come in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him. And it is the mind of God through his Spirit to call his people from that trend that's developing, whereby rebellion against God is more and more manifest. God's calling his people to the standard of holiness. The Spirit of God is seeking to raise up a standard, and God's people must rally to it, get as close to it as they can, and put distance between them and what's going on in the rest of society. And I say to you, Christian, you ought to view that as a vital part of your Christianity, to rally to the standard of God as raised by the Holy Spirit in this day when the enemy has come in like a flood. Put distance between you and the world, please. If you're a true child of God, you will do that. If you're only one who has a profession of religion but no real grace within your heart, you'll not. You'll not see the sense. You'll not see the argument. You'll have no desire whatsoever to give up those things that you enjoy. You'll not desire to give them up, and you'll think that it's nonsense, that this idea of desiring to give them up, it's nonsense. This call to give them up, this call to separate from the world, it's nonsense. It's old-fashioned. That's how you'll view it. But you're viewing it that way because your mind has not been renewed by the grace and power of God. You're not saved. You still have the old ways and the old nature within you. But the true child of God will rally to the standard raised by the Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost has always been involved in this work in Genesis chapter 1 and the verse 2. You recall the first reference that we have to the workings of the Holy Ghost. We read, "The earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, Let there be light. And there was light. And God saw the light that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness." The Holy Ghost is always involved in order being established, in dividing the darkness from the light. This is what God the Holy Ghost is engaged in. And he's still engaged in that. And if we bow today and pray for the grace of the Holy Ghost to be granted unto us, and he is granted, that's what you will see happen. You will see God's order becoming more and more clearly manifested in the life of that person. This is constantly the truth. You know, one day we'll see this in a very specific way happening to the nation of Israel. In Ezekiel chapter 37, you have the wonderful vision given to Ezekiel of the bones. Remember the scattered bones in the valley? And God told the prophet to preach over the bones and to call on the Spirit of the Lord to move upon the bones, and the outcome of it all was that out of the confusion of scattered bones there was raised up an exceeding great army. It's a vision of what will happen to the nation of Israel. God has a plan for them, you know. God has a plan for them. We can see a gathering of Israel back to its country. It has been re-established as a nation, and a very vital part is yet to happen, but when the Spirit of God begins to work, and there will be regeneration wrought amongst the regathered Jews. I only mention that in order to illustrate further that the Holy Ghost is ever engaged in the business of drawing the people of God out of the confusion, the rebellion, the defiance of God that is seen in society, drawing them aside, drawing them into order, so that they are clearly distinguished from the world. Now here in these verses that we have been looking at over the last few weeks, we see God's order being set forth for the family, for the Christian in a family setting. The wife, what is the order that God would have in her life? Well, we were told in the chapter 5, and the husband as well, what God's will and God's order, God's way for him is. It was set forth too there in the chapter 5. We came to chapter 6 and the first 3 verses of it. We were talking to children. God has a purpose and a will for children within a Christian family. God has a way. There is a standard of behavior, of attitude, that God requires within the children of a Christian family. And the Holy Ghost would establish that order amongst the boys and the girls. And we have been speaking to them. I think it was on 3 occasions we spoke to the boys and the girls about this. God has a will for you. There is a path for you. But now we come to fathers. We come to fathers. And it's important that we note this. We'll read the verse 4. Again, and ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. You know, the Bible promises a reward to those who raise their children aright, who raise their children correctly. Let me encourage you, Father, to notice this. Proverbs chapter 10, and the verse 1 reads, a wise son maketh a glad father, but a foolish son is the heaviness of his mother. It's wonderful how the Holy Spirit moves from father to mother. A wise son will make his father glad. Of course, he'll make his mother glad too, but especially make his father glad. But a foolish son will make his mother sad. Make his father sad too, but it will especially make the mother sad. So, if fathers can but get this matter right, they'll benefit from it. They'll benefit from it. The right raising of our children is an investment that cannot be surpassed. It will pay you well, Father, just to get it right. In fact, I would say to you this, there is no investment you can possibly make that will pay you as well. The raising of our children, you know, to a very large degree, is a process that takes place over a very short time. And what I mean by that is that the important aspects of discipline take place over a very short time. I mean, I can plant a tree or plant a bulb, and there's a bit of work in that. But it doesn't really take too long. But if it's done right, well, I might be required to do a little trimming, a little pruning, a little feeding, a little watering. Over the years, the main work was the planting. And I tell you this, the early days of discipline are but a very short time. It can be missed. It can be missed. But if they are seized upon and the right course of action embarked upon, it will entail really a short period of time that will return to you many, many, many times over great joy. I'm telling you. And that's the positive side. The negative side, I might say, may be said like this. It will save you from troubles innumerable if you discipline your child and raise them aright. Let me just say that. There's a reward. God makes that clear in His Word. But to accomplish this correct raising of our children requires help. We need help. We need help. Now there's help aplenty offered, isn't there? But of course the larger portion of the help that is offered comes from the devil and the devil's agents. It may be packaged in such a fashion that it appears to be coming from God. But I tell you this, the vast majority of the advice offered to parents, particularly in these days, is of hell. And it will bring forth a very sad harvest. Indeed. The devil's spokesmen are heard very loudly today. Indeed, they have begun to enshrine in law their stupid notions, so that to follow God's truth, one has to become, and this will increasingly be the case, one has to become defiant of the law. It will not be very long until a parent will be forbidden by law to exercise that discipline that God commands. That's not far away. That's not far away. The BBC Radio 4 program, Today, I think it's called, it comes on in the mornings, they were running a sort of a competition at the end of the year for proposed new legislation as suggested by listeners. And there's an MP who has an opportunity sometime early in the year to propose a new bill. And whoever wins this competition, he's ready to take up the good idea. One of the ideas, and I heard it expounded, was that a ban must be instigated immediately upon all physical punishing of children. That must cease. I wouldn't be surprised if that's the idea that wins. But certainly there are plenty of societies and there are plenty of members of Parliament who have espoused this idea in the past, and it will not be long until it does become law. It's law in many other parts of the European community, and it will be law here very, very soon. That shows you the influence of the devil's advice on this matter of raising children. But we're not going to find success as fathers and mothers if we follow the devil's advice. It's going to lead to ruin. It's going to lead to anarchy. It's going to lead to disaster. We see it already taking place in the land. We see it already. Elderly people beaten up in their homes. An old lady in East Belfast, just the night before last or something like this, attacked in a shameful fashion. Shameful fashion. It seems in the description of the culprit that he was a teenager. It ought to shock us. It ought to frighten us how these things are developing within society, and the reason they're happening, although the world won't believe this, the reasoning they're happening is because God's counsel on parenting has been abandoned. And if you abandon God's counsel, you will raise children to do what you're reading about in the papers today. That's what your children will do. Oh, I tell you, it's a most dangerous thing to set aside the teaching of God's word. Now let's look then at verse 4, and let me speak to fathers and say to you, each one, that you, father, are responsible for the discipline of your children. You're responsible. In that intricate, complex, interwoven structure within the family that God has ordained, each person within it has a place. The wife has a place as a wife. The husband has a place as a husband. The children have their place. Submissive to their parents, that means to mother and to father. That means that the wife not only has a role toward her husband, but she does have a role toward her children. She is meant to instruct them. That's why we are told in the verse 1 of this chapter, children, obey your parents. The mother does have a role in the teaching and guiding of her children. A very important role, I should say. But the father is the one responsible. The father is the one responsible. In too many cases, the father doesn't take any responsibility. He doesn't take any part. Well, that's lawlessness within your family, Christian. That means that you've defied God. You've thrown out God's order in your family. That's not going to work. It's not going to work if you don't play your part. You can't take out a vital piece from a machine and expect it to work. It won't. And if the father abdicates his responsibility, it's not going to work. Things will not be as they ought to be. And in many Christian homes, this is a matter that contributes to the problems that arise amongst the children. Fathers are responsible for discipline. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up on the nurture and admonition of the Lord. The bringing up of the children, the father's responsibility. In every army, there are layers of command. And right down at the lower level where the soldier is going forth into battle, he's obeying most likely the commands of a sergeant. But those commands that come to him through the sergeant are actually the commands of the commander-in-chief. So in many instances, mother does have a lot to do with the commanding of the children and the instructing of the children, but it better be father who is in charge. That's the order in God's household, and it ought to be noted. Now let me say first of all that when we say fathers are responsible for discipline, we are clearly indicating that there must be discipline in the home. There must be discipline in the home. Proverbs chapter 29 and the verse 15 says, "The rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame." Leave your child to itself, and it'll bring you to shame. Now, it's very easy to leave a child to itself. Very easy. It's very commonly done today. You say, "Oh, I would never abandon my child." It doesn't mean that. It doesn't mean that you close the door on the child in the room and go off and forget about it for a few hours. That's not what it's talking about. What it's talking about, and you may recognize this when we so describe it, it is you saying to your child, "You mustn't do that." And then you leave it to itself to decide whether or not it's going to obey you. You say, "You mustn't do that. You should do that." But you never enforce that. You leave it to the child. And the child just goes on doing what it wishes. And you say, "But you shouldn't do that." And it just goes on. You leave it to itself. Now it'll bring mother to shame. I wonder why it says mother and not mother and father. This has inspired this word. I would suggest to you that it is common for mothers to step in between their children and the rod. I heard it many a time from my mother. "If I tell your father, you'll know what you'll get." Did you ever hear that? I mean, you older ones. Of course you did. And very many instances your mother didn't tell your father. Your mother didn't tell your father. And instead, that which you should have got, you didn't get. Now mothers, be very careful about this matter. Be very careful about this matter. We must not leave our children to themselves. We must not withhold from them the chastisement that they need. On the other hand, it says in Proverbs chapter 22 and the verse 6, "Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it." You're not to leave a child to its own devices, but you're to train up a child in the way it should go. The word "train" there is rather a complex Hebrew word. But it has its roots, strangely enough, in a word that means to strangle or to choke. Train up a child in the way. You see, God wants you to choke off from your child every influence that will harm it. The word is closely associated, in fact it's translated in one or two places by the word, the English word, dedicate. So just as someone would take a gift and dedicate it to the Lord. So you see, you're to take your child and you're to dedicate your child to what is right. You're to separate your child unto what is right. And now you see the significance of the word choke or strangle. You're to strangle off every influence that would lead your child astray. It's not really so complicated. There's not a gardener in the world but does that all the time. They tie up their roses in order to have the rose grow in a certain fashion, and they're down round the roots plucking out all the weeds that would in any way hinder the growth. You know, God illustrates His truth before our eyes all the time. All the time. There must be discipline. There must be discipline. Otherwise, a child will bring its father, but especially its mother, to shame. Negligence of children with regards their... Well, I suppose I can say negligence of children in any way cannot be hidden. You can't neglect a child's diet without it being clearly seen. You neglect to feed a child a right, sure, it'll be seen. It'll be seen. There's a lot of children today, you know, and they're not properly fed. That's why so many of them are overweight. They're not properly fed. They're not properly fed. Who is it calls the shots? What would you like? From its first little meal in the day, what would you like? Would you like this box or that box or the other box? That's not right, Mother. What does a child know as to... It's going to go only by the flavour. And the contents mean nothing. Means nothing at all. And the manufacturers of the rubbish, they know rightly who makes the decisions. And that's why they sweeten these things up to no end. And have all sorts of surprises in the box. Probably there's nothing that would do a child more good than porridge. But I'd say there's not many children eating porridge today. Not many children eating porridge. Unless you could get frosted porridge that's crinkly and goes pop. Then you might get them eating it. You see the point? And all the other things that children eat today, chosen. Now, that's just their diet I'm talking about. I'm talking about their spiritual neglect. I'm talking about a neglect of discipline. It will show in a child. It will show in a child. How often you've heard mothers and fathers complain, "Oh, they showed me up today. I had them round at granny's and oh, they really played up. They showed me up." What happened? Your neglect was seen. Your neglect was seen. That's what happened. You cannot neglect to discipline your children and hope to hide it. Can't be done. It can't be done, my friend. The sins of the fathers will be seen in their children. That's what God says. What a dreadful thought that is, my friend. What a dreadful thought that is. I don't want what I remember of myself ever to be seen in my children. A divine neglect, discipline, it'll be seen. Proverbs chapter 20. And here we come to that sacred utterance of God, the Ten Commandments. Exodus chapter 20 and the verse 5. Well, look at verse 4. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, nor any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me. God visits judgment upon the children, not simply because of the sins wrought by the fathers, but because the children followed the fathers in their sins. God would never punish me for something you did, nor punish my son for something I did. But what I do in rebellion against God, I'll pass on to my children, and I'll bring God's punishment upon them in consequence. You neglect your duties as a father, and that sin will manifest itself in your children, and will bring them into conflict with God. That's the story of Eli in 1 Samuel chapter 3. Eli was a good man, but he was a bad father. And he raised two bad sons, wicked sons. But God judged not only the sons, but he judged Eli. And a sore judgment it was too. You can read that in 1 Samuel chapter 3. Sadly, Samuel didn't even learn the lesson, because he raised two bad sons as well. Or his sons, it says. Well, it takes a lot to get this lesson across to fathers. No matter what they may see happening in other families, somehow or other they feel it'll not happen to my family. Oh, but it will, my friend. It'll happen to your family. It doesn't matter how you may see them now. It'll happen to your family if you do not follow God's instructions and discipline them, and that most carefully. I always think of the story of Jacob. You remember how he deceived his father? Came in before his father and pretended that he was his brother Esau. Well, the sons of Jacob did something very similar to that. They came in one day to the father and they showed Joseph's coat covered in blood and made him to believe that his son was dead at the hands or as a result of an attack by a wild animal. When that wasn't the truth at all, they'd sold him into slavery. It must be the saddest thing on earth for a father to see his failures mirrored in the lives of his children. I beg you, fathers, heed God's word. Heed God's word today. For there's one thing that if you fail as a father, you'll never be able to recover from it. You'll pay the price. And you'll live with that failure. I might say that a father who disciplines his family is marked as spiritually mature. He shows himself to be one who has advanced in the things of God. If you look at 1 Timothy, and we will conclude our study here for today. 1 Timothy and the chapter 3. Paul is here speaking about the office of an elder or a bishop. Verse 1. This is a true saying, if a man desire the office of a bishop, he desireth a good work. A bishop then must be blameless, the husband of one wife, vigilant, sober, of good behavior, given to hospitality, apt to teach, not given to wine, no striker, not greedy of filthy lucre, but patient, not a brawler, not covetous, one that ruleth well his own house, having his children in subjection with all gravity. For if a man know not how to rule his own house, how shall he take care of the church of God? Spiritual maturity, advancement, is seen in the life of the person who takes seriously the business of disciplining their own home. Look at what you read in the verse 12, deacons too. Let the deacons be the husbands of one wife, ruling their children and their houses well. Look over to Titus, just a few pages over. And then Titus. Verse 5, for this cause left I, verse 1, chapter 1, verse 5, for this cause left I thee in Crete, that thou shouldst set in order the things that are wanting, and ordain elders in every city, as I had appointed thee. If any be blameless, the husband of one wife, having faithful children, not accused of riot or unruly. That word riot, if you turn back to Ephesians, that word riot is the word that you have in verse 18 of chapter 5. The key verse to a large degree to our present study. And be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. The word excess means riot. It's the same word, same Greek word. See, a child that's not disciplined will riot. Go to excess. Break the laws. Break the rules. But the child that's disciplined, ruled over as he should by a father, will not do this. And instead of showing the signs of being under the government of wine, he will show evidence of being under a spirit-guided, anointed, blessed discipline in the home. Just you consider those two verses. And study them much. In the Old Testament, just before God judged Sodom, the Trinity had a conversation about whether or not they would tell Abraham of what was about to happen. You have that musing, that deliberation on the part of God. In Genesis 18, the verses 17 and 19. And the Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham the thing which I do? For I know him, that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment. What was it decided God on whether or not he should tell Abraham what his purpose and mind was concerning Sodom? It was the fact that Abraham ruled his house well, disciplined his home. That marks you out as a spiritually mature person. Fathers, it's your responsibility to discipline your home, to pray for your home, to administer God's law throughout it and see that it's being obeyed as much as in you lies, looking at all times for the help and grace of the Holy Ghost. May the Lord bless his word to our hearts. Let's bow in prayer.